I'd like to call the Senate State Affairs Committee meeting to order. Let the record reflect. It is Thursday, April 11th, 2024 at 3:31 p.m. We are in the Belts Committee Room in the state of Alaska, Juneau. Let's see, present today are Senator Klayman, Senator Bjorkman, I believe Senator Merrick is online.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, good. Glad to hear you. And Senator Wilikowski will be on his way, and myself, Chair Kawasaki, are here. We do have a quorum to conduct business. I'd like to thank Savannah Danbert for serving Senate records and Shelby Carroll, moderator with the Legislative Information Office. The first and only agenda item today is Senate Concurrent Resolution 3. Regarding housing shortages and public-private partnerships. It is sponsored by Senator Forrest Dunbar, who is not here. Is he coming? It's okay. We'll go ahead and hear Senate Concurrent Resolution 3. We also have Michelle Brown, who is online, to testify as invited testimony. If Ms. Ariel Wiggin would like to come forward and present Senate Concurrent Resolution number 3.
For the record, my name is Ariel Wiggin, Chief of Staff to Senator Forrest Dunbar. I want to thank the committee for bringing up Senate Concurrent Resolution 3 today. Frankly, everyone in this room has heard ad infinitum about how deep and pressing our housing crisis is in Alaska, so I won't waste much of your time. But the lack of affordable housing in Alaska is one of the most urgent needs facing our state. It represents the nexus of many of the issues facing us today. Our lack of ability to retain essential workforce, our lack of ability to retain families. The state has a beautiful future ahead of it, but we also face a critical shortage of affordable housing and will affect our state's ability to plan long-term to attract and retain a skilled workforce. At that, I would like to defer to Michelle Brown with Housing Alaskans Public-Private Partnership.
Great. I'll go ahead, I guess, introduce Ms. Brown. Michelle Brown manages the Housing Alaskans Private-Public Partnership out of Anchorage. Prior to joining Housing Alaskans, she served for 17 years as president and CEO of the United Way of Anchorage, and was a senior fellow for housing and homelessness at the Rasmussen Foundation. She served as commissioner to the Department of Environmental Conservation from 1996 to 2002. She also worked for the Agency for International Development in Russia, managing the U.S. government's environmental aid assistance, was an assistant attorney general here at the Department of Law, and was a law clerk at both the Alaska and California Supreme Courts. Michelle's work at the Rasmussen Foundation received a national U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development Award for building a public-private partnership in Anchorage to add hundreds of new housing units to house people experiencing homelessness, and the state's first complex care shelter. Other awards include Alaska Woman of Achievement, a UAA Meritorious Service Award, the Shining Lights Award, and induction into the Anchorage Athena Society. Michelle received an undergraduate from the University of California, Berkeley in philosophy, as well as a JD from the University of California, Davis. I'd like to welcome Ms. Brown to the committee.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair.
Hello, if you just state your name and your affiliation for the record, welcome to the Senate State Affairs Committee.
Thank you. My name is Michelle Brown. I'm with Housing Alaskans Public-Private Partnership. May I begin?
Yeah, you can go ahead anytime you like.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good afternoon to all the members of the committee. As you have already heard, housing is somewhat the issue du jour in that the pervasive shortage of available and affordable housing is causing a lot of negative impacts in Alaska. The number one reason why businesses say they can't grow, and it is a major economic inhibitor. Alaska workers from healthcare to teachers to cooks can no longer afford rising housing prices, rent and purchase prices have far outpaced wage growth. As a consequence, housing production has shriveled since most developers cannot build housing that pencils at a rate consumers can afford. And that has led to construction industries and housing-related businesses becoming more in an economic rut that is adding to the workforce migration. We peaked in housing construction in the 80s. We now produce a fraction of what we were producing pre-2000. And as new construction and renovations lag, our housing stock continues to deteriorate, and that is leading to even more deterrence for attracting and retaining workforce, and it's also exacerbating overcrowding to the point that we face the worst overcrowding rates in the nation, and homelessness rises when people can't afford homes, rent or purchase, of course. According to a study that we had commissioned from AgniBeth, Alaska needs at least 27,500 new and rehabilitated homes over the next 10 years to meet current needs and a very conservative estimate for population growth. So Housing Alaskans was formed a couple of years ago to try to help address this crisis by using some more creative financing tools. We looked around to find out what was happening in the rest of the country, of course, and found that housing trusts are a best practice used all over the country. In fact, we were one of only three states that didn't have at least one statewide housing trust. And by trust, I mean that we pool money from public sources and private and philanthropic sources to have another source of revenue to help accelerate housing development. While we know we need a lot more money for housing across the state, we also need to figure out how to deploy the existing resources that we have in a more effective way than what housing is developed now, which is project by project. Each project is on its own to raise loan dollars or grant dollars or whatever combination it needs, and has to go through dozens of grant applications, if it's grant-based, to build a capital stack, which can take decades. So with the resources that we had on our initial, when we opened our doors, which was about $1 million, we decided we would not develop a program like most providers do, most funding providers do, and set requirements and get people to apply. We turned that on its head, and we went out and said, what projects are currently ready to go, essentially shovel ready. They have 95% of their capital stack, but they are languishing because they can't get that top off funding. And in a 3-week grant cycle, got 38 applications. There are a lot of projects that are in that state, even though they've already applied and received funding from anywhere from 5 to 20 sources. And a lot of that money was public money that was hidden for 2, 3, 5 years not being used because they couldn't get the complete capital stack. So we offered funding for this top-off type of funding. And because these projects did have other capital in them, much of which was from examples like HFC, they were well vetted, so we didn't put people through a lot of hoops. We deployed $750,000 of that first $1 million. It went in grants as small as $100,000 to $150,000 to projects in 6 communities, and the end result was 84 new units were built with that small top-off investment. Now, of course, they wouldn't have been built without all the funding that was in their capital stack, but they couldn't get over that final threshold without this little bit of money. So that's the way we accelerate funding, by leveraging other funds that are out at work in the community but not being used to their maximum ability. The second line of work that we've begun is to aid communities to do community-driven housing action plans, rather than have to, you know, apply happenstance to whatever program and grants make available. We work with them to develop their action plan for the types of housing they need and the infrastructure foundation they need to make that housing affordable. And so we are working now with Kodiak and Sitka and hope to be doing more communities. So we are a new entrant in the market, but we really hope to leverage all the other programs that are currently doing great work, but they're doing it in a disparate fashion. And we just wanted to make sure that you were aware of it. We'd love to get your ideas, because as an organization with this pooled funding, we can be versatile and nimble and address needs as they come up. I'd be happy to answer any questions, and I'm very appreciative of your interest in this topic.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Brown. I just wanted to note for the record that Senator Wilikowski has joined us. Are there questions for Ms. Brown? I'll go ahead and start then. I had just a couple questions. You mentioned 27,500 units of housing would be necessary in the next 10 years, I think it was. How I just find that hard to believe, because I think recently we've been talking a lot about outmigration of the Alaskans, and I'm trying to see, where are those people going, or where are they growing in the city? Or are they moving in from other places? Or
so I can certainly send you more information on this, but this is the 27,500 across the state. About half is new construction, half is rehabilitated units. And while we are experiencing outmigration, the demographics of housing needs have dramatically changed. So we have more and more single households, single-person households. So we're not seeing a decrease in the number of units needed, even though we are seeing some out-migration. And unfortunately, the out-migration is often people who are higher incomes and can afford to move, and the price of the housing that they're leaving is not affordable to the bulk of Alaska's workforce.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Brown. Another question I had, I know it says it looks like there's some homes coming online in places like even Nikolai, Nome, and you mentioned Sitka. Are most of these investments going into, I guess, cities or growth parts of the state? And what does that leave for places that may not have, I mean, just sort of off the road system, maybe fairly isolated, jobs, job security, things like that?
So we focus statewide. The six grants we did were all in smaller communities, with the exception of Wasilla, slightly larger community. We had Soldotna, Wasilla, Sitka, and Nikolai, Nome, and the last one is escaping me, but this seems to be a problem that is plaguing every community. So we are eager to fund anywhere across the state where there's need.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Brown. Are there further questions of the invited testimony this afternoon? Okay, hearing and seeing none, thank you, Ms. Brown, for being online today and helping us understand the housing crisis issues. Let's see, that brings the Senate Concurrent Resolution 3 back to the committee. I guess I had one question. Oh, no, actually, that was a question for Michelle. Let's see. Are there any questions of the sponsor of the bill at this time? Going once, going twice. All right. Hearing none, I guess you're off the hook. We will go ahead and set Senate Concurrent Resolution 3 aside for a future hearing. Wow, that concludes our meeting. Oh, brief at ease. We're back on the record. My apologies. I don't read the script. I just sort of fumble through it. We were going to open up public testimony at this time. So we'll open up public testimony. Is there anyone on the room or online who'd like to testify? Looks like there is somebody in the room who'd like to testify. If Mr. Beers would like to come forward and have a seat, either seat. And if you could just state your name and your affiliation for the record. Welcome to the Senate State Affairs Committee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. My name is Timothy
Beers. Just move the microphone towards you. There you go.
My name is Timothy Beers, and I am from the municipality of Anchorage from District 1. I'm still not familiar with the districts on the state level, and I apologize for that. I came to Juneau this week to advocate for a homeless bill of rights. That is affecting Anchorage and the state and the country as well. But the housing crisis really is bad, especially post-pandemic, when a lot of people didn't pay the rents and now they've all been evicted. And oftentimes when we think about homeless people, we don't realize what caused them to become homeless. And a lot of people think that they're disgusting drug addicts, alcoholics, but I assure you, not all homeless people are that. If you take into consideration all the people in Lahaina that lost their town due to the fire last year, and now they are homeless, they are being evicted from the hotels that they're at, and some of them are even leaving Hawaii because they cannot afford to live there. But I thought about something that could possibly kind of help in generating funds to help with the homeless crisis. It may have already come up for consideration, but let's revisit it. Let's revisit it if it hasn't or has, either way. I remember back in the mid-80s when California initiated the California Lottery. Our governor, the 35th governor, Duke Majan Jr., didn't want to implement the lottery law. It was voter approved. And during those years, I was a municipal court clerk working for the Palm Springs Municipal Court. And I always remember the judges saying, well, if this governor doesn't implement the lottery, he is obstructing justice. And they were talking about the lawsuits that were going to be associated with that. But the lottery, a portion of the funds that were generated from it in California were to fund the education system. So maybe here in Alaska, something to think about is to institute maybe a lottery, and you can get all the residents to help pay for the homeless crisis here so you can build what you need for shelters or housing for low-income people. And that's about all I have to say. I think it's worth looking into. I understand that Alaska does have a lottery, and the reason why we aren't a part of the Powerball or the Mega Millions is because it would infringe on that lottery. But that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Beers. Are there any questions? Okay. Seeing no questions for Mr. Beers, and seeing nobody else for public testimony, we'll close public testimony. Let's take it back to the committee and see if anybody had any comments. Did Senator Merrick have any questions or comments you'd like to make?
Yes, thank you, Chair Kawasaki. I just want to note for the record that Housing Alaskans has a $6 million appropriation in the capital budget.
Oh, thank you. Thank you to our finance committee member. I hope you get well. We have no further business at this time, and so that would conclude our meeting for today. Our next meeting is scheduled for April 16th. Right now on the calendar will be bills previously heard. That meeting will likely be canceled on Tuesday the 16th. Without any further business to go over, this meeting is adjourned. The time now is 3:52 p.m.